This is Sports Saturday on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Nick Sciarra and Jose Partida.
We go Wild Dog with Sony. Nauta goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
It's not time to bury the Bama dynasty. Once again, Alabama will be playing for the national championship. This time against the Georgia Bulldogs next Monday night in Atlanta, Georgia.
It's almost time, national championship, SB Nation Radio, SBNationRadio.com. It's Sports Saturday, 1-800-777-2907. The Sugar Bowl wasn't too exciting, but the Rose Bowl was. I was definitely in tuned into that game. And to break it all down, a buddy of mine who's joined the network quite a bit, Joe Lisi, gopherthe2.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at gopherthenumber2. What up, Joe? How you been, man?
Happy New Year, Nick. We're set for a great national championship game on Monday night. SEC heavy, but must-watch television, to say the least.
So this might be the most exciting but also the most depressing time for you, considering this is all going to come to an end for you on Monday, huh, Joe?
I'm having withdrawals as we speak. We got an FCS championship game today between James Madison and North Dakota State. Hats off to the Bison for winning that ball game. But without college football in the mix, I'm a very depressed individual this time of year.
So Alabama shows something on defense. That's not me necessarily like questioning them and what they were capable of doing on defense. But when you see what Alabama was able to do on defense, you know, blitzing but still keeping guys back, but feeling confident enough in the blitz to the point where they would do it time and time again, and they wouldn't change their method. I mean, what did the Alabama defense prove going into this national championship game?
Alabama proved that, hands down, they're the most dominant defense in college football year after year after year. It's just what Nick Saban and defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt and his predecessor Kirby Smart have done in Tuscaloosa over the last 9 years now. I think when you look at Alabama's defense, the difference between last year and this year, from a statistical standpoint, they're very solid in run support, only giving up 91 rushing yards per game. But you look at the front seven in terms of sack totals. They enter this ball game Monday night with 36 total sacks. Last year, they led FBS with 54 total sacks. They had a dominant front seven led by Jonathan Allen and guys like Tim Williams and Ryan Anderson on the outside, Reuben Foster in the middle. So it's a different defense. But the one thing that Nick Saban has done and Jeremy Pruitt has done there is they have depth that they can put in the ball game and rotate individuals out at every given point. So Alabama is fresh at critical junctures in the ball game. But Georgia's going to need to be very aggressive in this matchup, pass on first and second down to take the pressure off the offensive line, and more importantly, freshman quarterback Jake Fromm to pick up this victory on Monday night.
So you say pass on first and second down. So what should be the running back's role, Nick Chubb and Sonny Michelle, in this particular game? Because they're obviously going up against a top-ranked run defense, as you mentioned, in Alabama. What's going to be their role if you expect them to pass on first and second down?
Well, when you look at the matchup overall from a defensive perspective, Alabama's held 8 of 14 opponents under 100 yards rushing, and they were able to dominate those matchups, Nick, by 33 points per game in terms of the games that they were able to win. When they give up over 100, they're 4-1 overall, and they've only won those matchups by 13 points per game. But I think when you look at Georgia's offense entering this ball game, you can utilize not only Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle, but DeAndre Swift and backup Elijah Holyfield in the short to intermediate passing game. Again, I think you have to attack Alabama vertically on seam routes, post patterns, dig patterns, because the one thing that Alabama does better than anybody, they jump routes in pass coverage. You look at the game against Clemson last week, a lot of hitches, a lot of slant patterns. That allows those linebackers and corners to jump routes. You have to neutralize Alabama's speed, head on. You cannot run sideline to sideline, especially in the passing game. And that's where if you utilize those running backs on nickels, nickelbacks, and linebackers, you could have mismatches, especially on first and second down. That's the key to this matchup on Monday night.
So Jalen Hurts is a guy that, you know, I don't view him as a terrible quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, but it does seem that his shortcomings is what is magnified, right? But, you know, he threw 17 touchdowns, just one interception, ran for 808 yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, the guy is going to be good enough to manage this game, but what does Jalen Hurts absolutely can't do besides turn over the ball? What is something that he can't do besides turn over the ball in this national championship game?
Well, I think he can't take sacks. I mean, you look at later in the year against the physical defensive fronts like Auburn and, more importantly, LSU. They sacked Jalen Hurts 6 times in that loss against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. So he needs to get rid of the football. He cannot be put into long third down situations by taking sacks in this ball game or trying to create and do too much with improvising outside of the pocket with his legs. I'll say this about the Alabama offense from the start of the year to the end of the year. In the first 8 games of the season, Alabama averaged 298 rushing yards per game. They were a dominant offensive line and wore down opposing defenses at the point of attack. Over the last 5 games of the year, outside, take that Mercer game out of there, against the 4 FBS opponents that they played at the end of the year, teams like LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, they only rushed for 167 rushing yards per game. They cannot have that type of effort Monday night against a physical, quick defensive front 7 in Georgia and expect to win this ball game on Monday night. They, too, need to be very aggressive in the passing game. And if Georgia blitzes early and creates running lanes for Jalen Hurts, he can make some big plays with his legs outside the pocket. So that's the matchup that you want to see play out offensively and defensively for both teams.
We're speaking with Joe Lisi here on SB Nation Radio and SBNationRadio.com. You can find his work on Go for the Two. Raekwon Smith, clearly the heart of this Georgia defense, no question. Talk about his role in this game.
Yeah, his role is not just in run support because he's a dominant run stuffer, but you saw his ability in terms of pass coverage on Oklahoma running back Rodney Anderson, especially in the short to intermediate passing game in the overtime period. That was the main reason why Georgia's defense was able to hold Baker Mayfield and that offense to field goals in the overtime period and why they were able to pick up that win. When you look at Alabama's offense, outside of Calvin Ridley, Nick, the leading receiver outside of Calvin Ridley, second on the team is running back Bo Scarborough, that has 16 receptions for 108 receiving yards. So Roquan Smith's ability in terms of pass coverage is going to be very critical to take away Jalen Hurts' second option in the passing game. Whether Georgia can do that will be critical, whether they pick up this victory from a defensive perspective on Monday night.
All right. You know SB Nation Radio is based down here in Houston, so I want to ask you a few questions about the new acquisition in Jimbo Fisher. Texas A&M hires Jimbo Fisher, gives him this massive contract to where he can basically hire whoever he wants. Where are you on the Jimbo Fisher hire? Do you think he can bring in the type of recruits that will bring Texas A&M to the next level in the SEC?
Yeah, I think from a recruiting aspect, it hasn't been a problem for Jimbo Fisher to recruit talent. He had top 5 talent at Florida State and cultivated that into a national championship with an undefeated season in 2013. But from that time, Nick, he's really taken a step back and really, you know, left at just the right time with Florida State. I mean, they won their bowl game this year, 7-6 overall. But, I mean, prior to that, he was going in the opposite direction in terms of coaching that talent up. I mean, outside that victory 13-0 against Auburn, the following season they made the playoff and lost to Oregon. The following season they were 10-3. And then you look at this season where they were almost on the outside of bowl contention. I'm not so sure it's so much the recruiting aspect for Jimbo Fisher in College Station. Can he take that talent to another level, coaching that talent up? Because he's going up against guys like Nick Saban, Gus Malzahn. He's going up against a revitalized LSU team in Ed Orgeron and Dave Aranda on the defensive side of the ball. So it's never the offense for Jimbo Fisher. That defense in Florida State as well was not a dominant defense over the last couple of years in Tallahassee.
And where are you on all these crazy football contracts? Jimbo Fisher gets a crazy 10-year guaranteed contract. I just don't get the guaranteed aspect. I get the inflation of contracts, Joe. I get the fact that, you know, contracts are going up year in and year out. But why the super long and super guaranteed contracts?
I think you're seeing the Nick Saban effect in terms of what he was able to do. He goes to LSU from Michigan State and wins a national championship in 2003, goes to the NFL and comes back to Tuscaloosa and just really dominates football and college football. He is the epitome of what college football is now. I mean, in terms of a dynasty in Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban is the blueprint for what college coaches want. So in terms of having that autonomy and that guarantee to really run the things the way they want it done, that's why you're seeing these guaranteed contracts. It's the win now mentality. So you look at Scott Frost in UCF, takes over a program from 0-12 2 years ago, 13-0 now with a victory over Auburn. They're claiming their share of the national championship. Every program believes they have an opportunity within 2 years to win a national championship. I mean, it's really a blind mentality now throughout the sport, and that's why you're seeing these big guaranteed contracts being thrown at college coaches.
There you have it. That's why I love having him on, Joseph Lisi. You can follow him on Twitter at GoForTheTwo. He's a college football analyst for Fantasy Sports TV. He's a radio host for College Football Today, Channel 262 on Dish, GoForTheTwo.com. Joseph Lisi, thank you so much for the time. We greatly appreciate it.
Anytime, Nick. Love talking college football with you. Congrats and Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, sir. We'll talk to you soon. There you have it. Joe Lisi, SB Nation Radio, SBNationRadio.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll close it up. Don't go anywhere.